Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to the toast and happy, you know?
Boo. Don't even say it, Claudia. It's a slur.
No, and it's like saying it makes it real.
HM.
Hey, Mondays.
Happy Monday.
Oh, I didn't know if you were just like, you know, punctuating the end of the like thought with just like a hashtag HM.
No, I was trying to say the slur without saying it.
Yeah.
I really actually think Happy Monday is a slur.
It is. I agree. Happy like, Monday.
It's hateful rhetoric.
It's giving hateful rhetoric. It's giving misinformation. You know, it's not Monday, actually, when you like, it's just not.
It's giving dehumanization.
It's giving demoralization.
It is, but we are here to boost morale. We are, and I know everyone, wherever you are, is ushering in Monday in their own way, trying to stay above the line and make it through. And we're here to help you with that. We are. We'll get to the helpfulness.
Yeah, but first, the helpfulness starts now. Now, let me tell you, I've seen two celebrities in the past 24 hours.
Wow.
So yesterday I went to the Kosher Grocer to pick up a rotisserie chicken, obviously. Who do I see? Judith Light, Miss Claire Mead, of course, from Ugly Betty. Allegedly she's also from Who's the Boss, but no, she's Claire Mead to me.
And the politician. And American Crime Story, Gianni Versace.
She's kind of like a Ryan Murphy groupie at this point.
I accept that.
Me too. Saw her at the Kosher Grocer. She looked frazzled. I mean, everyone was frazzled. It was super busy yesterday. But she looked particularly frazzled. And I didn't know she shopped kosher. You know, love that for Judith. Mm-hmm. And then on my way to work this morning, I'm waiting for the light with Makeup by Mario. And I literally started talking to him. And it's like, he's one of the people I haven't seen in like 5 years. Jackie, he didn't recognize me. I'm like, it's Claudia. Like, people literally do not recognize me. And then actually, I didn't realize his office and ours are kind of close. So we walked for, you know, a couple of blocks together.
Office sisters.
Yeah. And then I was like, obviously feeling insecure about my makeup. You know, it was a Monday. Like, I didn't do anything crazy.
Yeah.
And I was feeling like maybe I should have tried a little bit harder. Like, was he looking, you know?
Maybe, but I'm sure he has his own things on his mind. It's a Monday for him, too.
So true. And
I don't think he goes around judging everyone's makeup all the time.
I feel like there might have been a point in his career when he did, but now he's like so desensitized.
I feel like he's giving grace.
I would hope he's giving grace because I'm like literally not even wearing foundation, you know?
But you look beautiful, so maybe like he's impressed with your natural beauty.
He did say before he left, like, wow, so good to see you, Claudia. I'm really impressed with your natural beauty.
Oh, he said your name again?
Yes.
So then he didn't know who you were.
Yes,
I feel like that's what you do when you're like, yes, Claudia. Thank you, Claudia.
Okay, first of all, I was joking. He didn't say that. Second of all, like, he was like referencing, like, are you still doing the podcast? Like, he knew, bitch.
Oh, he knows we do the podcast? Oh, look,
now she's involved and she's like, oh, you really said that.
Did he really say that?
I was like, I'm going to work. He's like, work. I'm like, I'm like my studio. He's like, oh yeah, you're still doing the podcast. What type of guests do you have?
Did he want to come on the show?
Well, I said we don't really have guests, so I feel like that kind of shed it down. But Mario's always welcome. Now that I know
Meanwhile, he's looking at the episode with Chris Appleton. They say they don't have guests.
That was years ago. And by the way, I was wondering, because I didn't want to bring it up. Was Mario on our show? I feel like he was. No?
No.
No. Okay.
Not that I remember. And I think I'd remember.
Yeah.
But some sort of collaboration, I do believe, yes, has once happened between you and him. But not on our show.
Okay, well, he remembered, bitch, don't be rude. And it was just kind of like an amazing New York City moment, you know?
Meanwhile, he's at his office being like, this girl.
Does anybody know who this girl is?
She knows me, walked 3 blocks.
And she's literally talking about me on her podcast.
On her little podcast.
Okay, I feel like you're making it was a great New York moment, and you're just like being jealous and trying to destroy it. And you can't bring me down. Or Mario.
No, I won't bring you down.
You can't bring Mario down either.
I believe Mario knew Turdy.
Of course. Why do you even make it like he didn't?
I believe women.
Not this one.
No, I'm saying I believe you.
Okay. I'll remember this. Oh, wait.
How was your weekend otherwise?
My phone's ringing. It's my best friend, Mario. Yeah, hello? No, I know. She's so jealous of us. We'll walk home from work together. Okay, cool. Love you. Bye.
Where the police will be there with their restraining order.
I literally fucking hate you.
So yeah, I'm gonna walk home. I'll probably get lunch with Mario too.
Lock her up. Throw away the key.
Stop. Like, not you making my nice story. No, like,
that's your best friend. Stop.
No, it's not. It was just like a nice moment. God, she's so jealous because she doesn't run into anyone in Florida.
Excuse moi.
What? Who'd you run into on the way to work today, Olivia?
Harry. Jealous. Harry jealous.
Harry Jowsy.
Harry Jowsy. Anyways, how was your weekend?
It was nice. It was long as fuck because I was being a single parent. I went 3 days accident free. Yesterday, I like woke up off, you know, and I just like the whole schedule was off. He had two accidents right in the morning. Like I fucked it up. I don't know what I was doing. I have a very clear schedule. I don't know why.
It was Sunday. It's Sunday. Romeo needs to learn about the days of the week and the weekend so that Sunday things are a little what they call lazy.
Yeah. And he was not like getting the memo about laziness. So he just peed in my bed and took a dump on my floor. So that was great.
Peeing in the bed cuts deep. Bruno does it all, not all the time, but like kind of often. He just like likes to pee in the bed if he's going to have an accident. He thinks it's like
that's rough.
Funny about him. And like, oh my God, the way my bed is not the same for like 3 days, the whole process of stripping, waiting, drying, etc.
I will say Romeo has peed in my bed twice now in his, you know, time here on earth. And both times it was on just the throw blanket. It's almost like he's doing it in a way that minimizes. So I just had to throw the throw blanket in the wash. Mickey Couture. And
if he pees like on your duvet, do you spot clean or do you strip?
Very, very, very good question. Depends on the pee.
If it sinks all the way down.
I am not opposed to seriously like spot cleaning with like, you have to absorb all the pee and then using like a dog urine and stain, odor and stain, whatever. And also it's like, what I do my sheets on Wednesdays.
How close are we to Wednesday?
If it's, also, is it like, Thursday or Friday? I have to do the whole thing. Anything
is it the foot of the bed? Or where I rest my head, also, very different places.
Also a good question. But when Romeo is on my bed, he lays on this like very thick throw blanket. So more often Bruce than style. Not. Bruce style. I'm glad you asked. Ben returned last night. I haven't walked Romeo since. Ben is like, seriously, I don't think he knows that he's in the D-O-D-A-double-G dog house. Like, girl, I'm so done. Like, I did so much work. Ben was gone Wednesday to Sunday. We have a 13-week-old puppy. Unforgivable. Oh my God, Ben worked so hard last night. And he gets into bed, he's like, oh my God. I'm like, are you complaining?
No, it's only just beginning.
It's only just begun. Oh, and then of course this morning, I have the schedule down pat. I worked like literally trial and error over all last week. I know what works and what doesn't work. The second Ben is in charge this morning, I tell him exactly what to do. He takes Romeo out for his second poop like a little bit earlier. And of course, it fucks up the whole morning like I said it would. And he's running around the house like holding Romeo because Romeo hasn't peed yet. He can't run free until he's emptied his bladder. Ben's like, this is so annoying. I'm like, I literally told you what to do. You didn't follow the rules. Now you pay the consequences.
Well, he's going to have to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
Which sometimes is the only way to learn.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So my weekend was filled with a lot of, you know, Romeo time, a lot of me time. I worked out twice. I feel as though I deserve a medal. You know, had a couple cocktails, played pickleball. It was kind of a well-balanced weekend. What about you?
My weekend was well-balanced too. Extremely physical and tiring. Like, my body so tired at the end of the day, especially Saturday. Like, it felt like body aches. Like, I have the flu, but I'm not sick.
You were just like exerting lots of energy,
being a good mom and such. I don't know why my body hurt so much. Yeah, but it was a really great, it was a great weekend. Family fun, et cetera, et cetera. What more can you ask for?
Literally nothing.
Yeah, it was good, busy.
So some personal news. I'm supposed to start my period today.
Okay, supposed to, meaning?
Meaning, let me tell you. I wanted to find a new gynecologist. You know, my friend Margot had raved about her gynecologist. So I was like, you know what? Let me give it a shot. Oh my God, it took me 2 months to get an appointment. I guess like if you're like not pregnant, like you're like deprioritized, you know, like you just need a pap smear, girl, you can wait. I was like, okay. Waited. I'm doing my schedule last week for this week looking. I'm like, oh yeah, I have got that appointment. Let me put that on my calendar. Oh, wait. And then I'm just start thinking, oh, and I'm filling out the forms. Oh my God, the form was like 100 pages long. Date of last period, date of expected next period. I'm like, oh my God. I'm supposed to get my period on the day. I've been waiting months for this appointment. And I don't know. Can you get a pap smear with your period? Like, no, it's like disrespectful, no?
Yeah, I think that you can, but it's not ideal.
Well, I sent an email. I'm like, hey, I'm just not realizing, like, my appointment, I'm actually supposed to start my period. Like, can I get my checkup? If, like, and they were like, honestly, if you're bleeding heavily, no. I'm like, fuck. But I haven't gotten it yet. So hopefully she just waits till the end of the day, or maybe she's a day late this week, you know?
Okay. And maybe you'll just run.
Maybe I'll just, no, literally. Oh, and by the way, oh my God, I'm so dumb. I forgot to wear underwear today. That's like really crazy of me. I totally forgot.
That's really crazy.
Honestly, because I was thinking, like, I don't want to have to, like, do anything with my underwear at the doctor's office.
You intentionally didn't wear underwear.
No, I actually really, now, I don't wear underwear really anymore. It's like kind of a thing. You know, my new life, I've like changed so much about my life in the last year. Like, one of those things is I pretty much never wear underwear unless it's control top.
That's really crazy.
I know.
Will never, could never, should never be me.
And then another thing that I was having a conversation with Ben, and he thought it was so weird. When I got into bed last night, I was like, you know what? I'm actually going to stop telling the story because you know what?
Boundaries, personal space, privacy.
You don't have to share every thought you had just because you have a podcast. I'm learning that slowly.
It's so important.
But I'll tell it to you afterwards. It's nothing even crazy or salacious. Ben said it was weird that I said this thing, and like, I didn't think it was weird.
Yeah, keep things private.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I already shared enough, you know, about my pap smear and my appearance.
Right. That was a lot.
It was, but that's just kind of what I've been dealing with, and that's what this whole show is about. Like,
it's true.
I waited months for this appointment. Mon plan. God bleeds, okay?
Well, no, it's holding up.
Until it's not.
Okay, well, we'll get on with the show so that hopefully you can beat your period.
No, literally.
When Ben's here, beat the crunch. Today, beat the period.
I love that.
It's really beautiful.
What else? You see any celebrities this weekend?
Did I see any celebrities this weekend? What did I do on Saturday? Why can't I get a hold of my Saturday?
Did you go to the farm? Head?
I went to the farm on Sunday. The fuck did I do? La Tour de Lou.
I'll give you a minute.
Yeah, give me a minute.
Oh, while you think about that, I could tell you what I did last night. And that was I finally began the final season of Young Sheldon. 5 episodes have come out. Let me tell you, they don't make TV like that. They really don't make TV like that. I was cackling. Oh, my God. Me and Ben laughing so hard. What a well-written show.
I got sidetracked with Young Sheldon.
And you're missing out. Like, we watched 5 episodes last night. And by the way, let me tell you, Sheldon is so grown. And they obviously, like, the writers of the show know that, like, Sheldon's annoying. And, like, it's when Sheldon was really young and cute and sweet, like, his dumb Sheldon antics were, like, cute. Now he's, like, 17 and he's, like, far too old to be acting this way. The show is not about him. I think he's in the show 10% of the time. Really, they're focusing on other characters because I don't know if you saw this. We didn't even make it a story. They've announced a spinoff.
Called?
Well, I don't want to spoil it for you. I don't know what it's called, but it's centered around the older brother, Georgie.
Oh, cute.
Because he's at this place in his life. Can I tell you what ends up happening with Georgie?
Sure.
He gets a girl pregnant. And it's Emily Osment. And she becomes like a main character in the show. And he becomes like a dad. And it's actually really sweet. They still live at home. So I'm curious what other characters from the show. Like, I need Connie and I need George Cooper. Everybody else I don't need. But I need them to stay in the new show. It's like, it's literally magic in a bottle. The fact that they have to end it, and I get why they do, because it's a prequel and it can only go so far in Sheldon's life. What if Sheldon leaves the show and it's like, oh, we know he goes to college or something. Bye.
Right.
That's what it should be.
They're doing that with Georgie.
But are they keeping all the other characters? Like, is it the same set and everything? I literally need the show to not change. Jackie, we were laughing so hard. It's so well written. Oh my God, we were cackling. Like, how they could end, they end shows that are so much worse.
I know, but sometimes you want to go out on a high.
No, but not with those sitcoms. Those sitcoms could go on forever.
That's true. They don't have those standards. Like, we want it to be a perfect piece of art. It's like, let's just keep going till they pull the plug.
Yeah, like, that's what those, it's like a soap opera.
Yeah.
You need to keep watching Sheldon. It's so good.
Okay, maybe I'll get back to it. I've been watching all weekend Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and last night I made it to Reunion Part 1. I made major headway thanks to a little bit of fast-forwarding.
Let me tell you, I also randomly turned on Bravo, and the reunion was on, and I was like, you know what? They show you the packages. I could have caught up on the whole season just in the reunion, and I watched most of the reunion.
And they went through the whole season without Kyle marriage being like a major, major storyline. Because basically what happens is they film the final party, which is their white party at SoFi Stadium, which was so crazy and actually emblematic of Kyle and Mauricio's marriage. It's like this party used to be like their family thing. Like she would cook for it. Yeah. They would make the stencils for the backdrop for the photo wall. And now it's like so big and massive and successful and huge at SoFi Stadium. Mauricio like didn't even know where it was. His friend was like, "You're having a party at SoFi Stadium?" He's like, "Yeah, I guess it's like in the parking lot or something." Like he didn't even realize they got the stadium. They don't even talk, but yeah, their life is so like big and big, glamorous. Anyways, it's very emblematic.
How good does that feel?
So the finale party is at SoFi Stadium. And then afterwards, the People magazine article drops. Like I think it's 1 month later or 1 week later or something. So she finished filming the season without really having to make her marriage.
That's really manipulative.
Even though they talk about it a little bit and she has conversations with Dorit, like we're having a really hard year. And Dorit's like, same, PK's traveling. She's like, same, Mo's traveling. But it's like clear that it's like different. One couple is going through a hard time and the other couple is on the brink of divorce. Like yeah, they're not the same. So we don't really get to the meat of the issue until the reunion where it's like, okay, now we have to talk about everything that's happened in the last few months. Morgan Wade, Mauricio, tattoos, ring, all of it now meaning something else than what it meant all season of, you know, Kyle was just going through a Kyle renaissance. No, it's more than that.
That's like so like kind of lame of Kyle, you know, to be a professional reality star. It's not like she just joined this show. Like she is a professional reality star of 15 years. And I understand that there's, you know, parts of your life you want to keep private, but to really go so far out of your way to not include a singular part of this huge life-changing moment on the show, that's lame.
Yeah, especially because the way Kyle describes it most of the time is like her and Mauricio almost, they're growing very much apart. They're both working so much, traveling, and they're not connecting at all. That there wasn't this one big thing that is the reason why they're divorcing. They're just kind of like two ships passing, not connecting, whatever. Which makes it, I can understand why you might not mention that on the show, because it's like, I don't know that divorce is in our future. We're just like not together right now, but like that doesn't mean we have to get divorced. You know, we love each other. But then she said something in one of her interviews, like pretty much the interviewer asked, like, why aren't you and Mauricio together? Like, what's the one thing you can't agree on? And she said, the trust, there are just things that I can't recover from. Like, yeah, the trust is broken.
And at the reunion, the vibe that I got was that like, Mauricio very, like, obviously cheated on her. She won't say it out loud solely out of respect for her kids. That was the vibe that I got. Like, there was something, we're not going to talk about it because it's still the father of her children.
Something happened.
That was the vibe that I got.
Okay. Good to know.
Then I just couldn't believe we were still beating the Morgan Wade thing at the reunion. I'm like, wow, we've known about Morgan Wade now for so long. We still have absolutely no clarity. And Andy really asked one at the end very direct question, which was like, are you guys in a relationship? Like, what is going on? And she waited so long. I think they even went to a commercial break. And then she's like, no.
Yeah, this season, like, they're really just friends.
Okay.
It's confusing. But maybe Kyle's confused, too.
And then that whole Sutton thing was, like, kind of bizarre.
That she, like, faints.
Fainted. And then, like, she left or whatever. And then the reunion without Sutton or Garcelle was, like, kind of boring.
I haven't gotten to that. I'm still on part one, which is like about Kyle. It was a little bit about Dorit and Garcelle. And I just want to say, after watching the whole season, like Erica just impressed me so, so much. She's really like building back her whole life, starting from not even zero because she had to like come back from something. And she's doing it with so much grace. And I really never, if you had told me like so many like years ago or whatever, 3 or 4 years ago when it all started, that who she would become through all of this. Like, it's really impressive. Like, her mental fortitude to get through it and to work hard and to, like, start small. It's not easy. She was like, we just have to take steps forward, even if they're baby steps, which is really what she's doing. And not everyone could do it. She's an incredibly strong person.
Is she still living in that house that she was in?
Yeah, I think so. At least this season she was.
Love that for her. She, like, I feel like she should, like, start dating. And she could date someone, like, she should date, like, a tech. Very, like, Christine Quinn energy, you know?
Yeah. But I think that when you go from being in a relationship like she was, where you have no really say and you're at someone else's whim and they're very controlling and it's their money and this and that, like, even though it's so hard to lose it all and to not have all those fabulous things, like, when you start to have your own independence and freedom, it's
like, you wouldn't trade it.
You actually would not trade it to go back to that.
Totally.
Because that's all you want is just your freedom.
Freedom, I won't let you down.
Erica is someone who could have both.
I think so too. She's like a strong woman.
Yeah. And she's such a catch, and there's no reason why she can't find a great guy.
Yeah.
So anyways, I was just really impressed by her.
I love that.
Yeah. It was honestly, it was making me a little emo.
I know what you mean.
And I felt like she kept waiting for the women to apologize, like, you know, because they were really hard on her. And it was making me feel like I needed to apologize.
No, by the way, I know what you mean, because then you also see other women like Kyle this season go through something not even as bad. Like, nobody did anything wrong, but something deeply personal and pretty monumental for Kyle, and get away with, like, not sharing any part of it, not having to answer to any part of it. Whereas Erica could not walk, like, one foot without somebody questioning her motives and her husband and all these things. And I get that it was like a crazy time, but now with hindsight and when you compare to like what other women have gone through, it's like she really got, even like Jen Shah. Jen Shah was literally the person who committed the crime. With Erica, it was her husband. Jen Shah, and that's why I think the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City as a franchise is a failure and the women are, you know, bad housewives. It's because they let that entire season go by. Literally could have been historic, could have been history making. They let that entire season go by and let themselves get sidetracked with dumb, petty, dumb ass, stupid ass fucking drama when literally their co-star got arrested on camera. Like, the feds came to your Sprinter. It was literally prestigious TV in the making, and they so dropped the fucking ball. So to see Jen Shah not even get her feet held to the fire in the same way that Erica did, like, Erica must be mad.
Yeah, but the thing is, she's mad, but she's also very graceful about it, where she's like, I want just an apology. And I feel like if she got an apology, that would be enough for her. It's not like she would even want more than that, but she also knows, like, maybe I won't get an apology and I have to be okay with that too.
Yeah.
But I just feel like those women who were her friends, like, it's on your friends to, like, believe you and champion you, even when it gets hard. Like, that's when it counts to be a friend.
Kyle and Dorit. Whereas, and like, yes, actually, Sutton and Garcelle questioning and reading the LA Times, like, they were new. They had no history with Erica and they wanted to make a splash and everyone was thinking it. Like, I actually don't even blame them for that. You're right. It's the women.
It's hard
Foxy
to then
five.
Say, like, we're friends if they don't then be like, yeah, we went hard on that. It seems as though you're in the clear and that you
had
no
idea.
Know anything. And, like, and so for that, we're sorry. Like, I don't know why that should be hard for people, but it really like Sutton gave her a full apology. Very sorry. Crystal too. Dorit and Kyle, even though they never really questioned her, but there was like one or two statements that they made that they apologized for.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's just interesting. Time heals.
1000%.
It's hard to be patient sometimes. And then she was saying, all I was asking for was patience and for people to let it play out in the legal process and not jump to conclusions.
And they couldn't do that.
Yeah, so I'll finish that up tonight probably, and excited to be caught up on one franchise.
Love that for you.
Yeah.
How are the stories today? Give me a little.
Good. Not, I wouldn't say they're gangbusters Monday stories, but they are solid as a rock.
And they're enough.
Dianu.
No, that was a question. And they're enough?
They are enough. They must be.
Okay.
They'll, you know, we'll make it enough.
So true.
So without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five stories that you need to know are brought to you by Taylor Farms. Taylor Farms chopped salad kits deliver the freshest, best tasting salads to eat at home or on the go across North America. Taylor Farms is a family owned company on a mission to create healthy lives through fresh, delicious food. Taylor Farms chopped salad kits defy boring in every bag with over 30 flavors. Each base is a unique blend of greens and veggies created to perfectly complement the toppings and dressings to deliver the best tasting, flavor forward salad kits. They really are where convenience meets freshness. The salads are pre-washed, pre-cut, and ready to enjoy. So whether you're a busy professional or a home chef, Taylor Farms salads make healthy eating a breeze. On my new, like, health journey in my new kitchen, like, I love to make stuff, and I'm not really good at making stuff, and that's why the salads in a bag from Taylor Farms are so fabulous. And I know what you're going to say, like, salads in a bag. We all have our preconceived notions, but let me tell you, they are being broken down by Taylor Farms. They're so fresh. They're chopped really well. The ingredients are so good. I love their different flavors. It's really super, super fresh. You're going to love it, whether it's just like eating it out of the bag on the go or like you're having a dinner party. Like, that could be your whole salad, saving you time and energy. Also, sometimes I like to throw a little protein in there, make it more of a substantial, you know, meal. You can purchase Taylor Farms chopped salad kits wherever you like to shop. It's available at all major grocery stores. Jax, as a busy mom on the go, do you benefit from the convenience of a salad kit?
Beyond. I had one last night for dinner and a surprise to no one. Taylor Farms. I don't say this lightly, but they've changed my life.
Thank you.
They really have.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Poppy. It's no secret that soda has become a dirty word. It's too sugary and too syrupy. We don't blame you for wanting to leave it in the past. That era of soda is officially over. And you know, I'm a Diet Coke fiend, and I'm not going to lie to you. I've not completely cut soda from my diet, but I've definitely decreased a lot. I used to do like maybe 3 a day. I know that sounds so crazy. So if you're a Diet Coke fiend like me and you find out about the healthier alternative that is as delicious without all the BS in it, try it for yourself. That's Poppy. Poppy is a better for you soda made with clean ingredients, 5 grams of sugar or less, and less prebiotics. There are literally prebiotics in each can. You can feel good about what's in your can with Poppy's classic flavors like cola, Doc Pop, and root beer. Say goodbye to the empty calories, the artificial ingredients, and the high fructose corn syrup. Their Doc Pop flavor tastes just like Diet Pepper, and their cola flavor is meant to taste like Coke. I like that they have like exact substitutes for what you're looking for if you're looking to like, you know, wean off of a soda. But also if you're just looking for like delicious, fresh, new drinks, Poppy also has fresh fruit flavors like strawberry lemon, cherry limeade, orange, and grape. They are bursting with the juiciest flavors. Shop Poppy on Amazon for 15% off. Use code TOAST15 off. And you can, of course, shop Poppy in retailers nationwide. So that code on Amazon for 15% off is TOAST15 off, T-O-A-S-T, 15 off, toast 15 off. That's the code you can use on Amazon to shop Poppy for 15% off. Enjoy the deliciousness that is Poppy. Today's episode is also brought to you by Roback. You all know Roback, and we absolutely love their new women's line. Their hoodie and jogger sets are super soft. We can't take them off. They're incredibly comfortable, and the fabric is called V-Soft, which, you know, is extremely accurate because it's V-Soft, very soft. Whether it's a lazy day or we're out running errands, we love wearing our Roback hoodie and jogger sets. Get yourself a set and stay toasty all season. So their Swift crewnecks are equally as soft. Everybody knows we love a good crew neck, and these just might be the best ones we own. They also just restocked their active dress, which went super viral last year, and it's finally back in stock. It's made with their signature GTG technology, so we are able to keep our dresses on when we're on the go, and we've got to go. It's super genius. We don't know how they did it. They are made with lightweight, breathable fabrics that are designed to keep you comfortable while you're on the move. So Roback is just one of those brands, you know, that if you purchase anything from them, like, you're going to like it and it's going to fit really well. The sizing's really uniform, which I really like. That dress is super cute. But I just love a set. I mean, I'm wearing a set today. It's so easy just to get dressed, look put together, but also be comfortable. So whether you have a, you know, a big day of errands or you just like are laying around the house and you don't want to be wearing pajamas, I love Roback for that. Their sets are fabulous. If you haven't already, it's time to try out some Roback. Use code TOAST on Roback.com for a generous 20% off your first order through the end of this week. That's spelled R-H-O-B-A-C-K.com. That's 20% off all hoodies, joggers, crews, and more, but only with code TOAST. That's code T-O-A-S-T at Roback.com for 20% off all hoodies, joggers, crews, and more. Stay comfortable this spring with Roback.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome.
Our first story, you know, the big global news story of the moment, Kate Middleton. Where in the world is Kate Middleton? A couple things. First, there's a report going around that the BBC is on alert for a royal announcement. They've been on alert since Friday.
Yeah, they were told to like be on standby, and everybody keeps resurfacing that one thing they said on Friday. And it's like, okay, well, it's been 4 days.
Yeah. And also, what would the announcement be? It could be something as big as divorce.
Right,
or death. As small as Kate is doing well, and we look forward to seeing her after Easter.
But they don't explain. Like, I don't know what they would possibly be saying, unless something really has happened.
Like an explanation.
So, by the way, because I was thinking about this on my way to work this morning, because I was thinking about how, you know, right before all of this happened, we were told about Charles's cancer diagnosis. It was all in the spirit of transparency and yada, yada. Do you think that was like a move?
I think it's both. Like, I think it's true. Yeah, also a little bit of a move. Also a little bit of, here, let's give you something so you don't feel like we're all being private with our health concerns. I think they were able to make it a little bit of a moment with everyone, go get your prostate checked. We're going to be doing public health, and this is good for everyone.
But I think it ended up backfiring because he was so transparent and then Kate wasn't. If they both just had health issues, nobody would be like, we need to know what's going on in their vaginas. Like, it's personal. So, like, if they wanted to keep it separate, I think private, I think that would have been okay.
Yes and no. One, Charles is the monarch, so I guess we are more entitled. The British public is more entitled to know. And two, like, not to make it gendered, but a woman's entitled to certain privacies that a man is not needed. Like, I wouldn't care if,
Jackie,
like,
you are so binary. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Do you think I wasn't?
No. I knew you were. I knew you were.
Then you got, like, not you. I'm saying the royal you. Y'all? Yeah. Did y'all think I wasn't?
No, they, by the way, that's a fair statement, actually.
Like, if Charles had diarrhea, like, I think it's fine for them to tell us. If Kate has diarrhea, keep that to yourself. Like, this is, she's a woman.
Oh, wow. I thought you were saying more so because a lot of the speculation, a pretty popular theory is that Kate's suffering from a hysterectomy, which is an abdominal surgery. So, you know, that's the truth. And it requires a pretty decent amount of time for recovery. And it's like a major surgery. And that's like such a personal feminine thing.
Oh, yes. Okay. So two things. One, it's personal because it's also emotional. And it's a hysterectomy is something that's not just like, oh, a small appendicitis removal.
Yeah.
It's a very emotional thing for a woman, I'm sure. No, I also meant there's another theory that she had some sort of bowel surgery.
Oh, yeah, that's what Dumois is saying. That the running thing with Dumois is that she now has a colostomy bag.
Yeah, she had bowel surgery. She has a colostomy bag. Like, it's giving duty. And right. I just think for a woman, like, we don't need to know such things.
Got it.
And she should be entitled to her privacy on that front, on the duty front.
The thing is, she should be entitled to her privacy no matter what the medical issue was. If she doesn't want to share it, she doesn't have to. Perhaps it's just that Charles really wanted to share because there is a sort of social movement behind his diagnosis.
Yeah.
It's always, same with, that reminds me of like Olivia Munn. Like when you hear something like that, it really is a reminder to go get checked because it can happen to anyone, a royal, a celebrity, you.
Right. So I think for that reason, I'm okay with Charles having shared and Kate not sharing. Like, I don't think that means that there's something more with Kate. Like, I think,
by the way, I'm okay with it too. But the fact that he shared and she didn't, I think put a spotlight on her. I think they were trying to use it as like a deflection, but it ended up putting more of a spotlight. That was the reason why I brought up Charles's diagnosis.
Got it.
It was meant to be like, look, we're being honest and let's talk about this. And Kate's thing will, but if anything, him being so honest and then her just sort of like disappearing, I think it was more stark.
But what if they were both very private? You don't think that would turn into...
The thing is, I think like Kate at this point in her life / career, like has the privilege of privacy and perhaps Charles doesn't.
Yeah. Agreed.
So there was also a report, I think yesterday from the Sun.
That they went to the farm shop, William and Kate.
Can you read the headline? Because it's so dumb.
It said, happy and healthy, Princess Kate spotted out and about for first time since surgery as she visits the farm shop with Wills. By the way, Claudia, I saw Kate and William at the farm yesterday.
LOL. No, wait. I want
my celeb spotting.
The, what's it called? The front page of the Sun. Hold on.
Kate outdoors.
There are two bullets. Do you have the...
I have the article.
No. Hold on. I need to find...
You want the front page.
It's... Oh, here. Seen out with William at a farm. First public trip ends web rumors.
Sure.
Like, no, it didn't, first of all.
And also, there's no photos from said farm.
Right, there's no photos. It's just like, oh, look, they were at a farm. And it's rumors are over.
Old farm photos. I should have texted her some of my farm pics from yesterday. She could have posted them and said, beautiful day at the farm with Wills. Live, laugh, love.
Let me just say, like, they weren't at the farm, you know?
I saw them at the farm. I can confirm.
He also went to a, like, public, what is it called? Royal, he had, like, a job. What are they called?
Yeah, engagement.
Engagement. At, like, some soccer field or whatever. And he was, like, out of the car. There was a crowd of people. And everybody was like, Will, hello. And he's like, hey, guys. He's, like, answering. Then he starts walking. Someone is like, how's Catherine? And he just keeps walking.
I have a question for you. Say that all of this has been overblown and she's recovering from bowel surgery and wanted to, like, have her privacy. And she's coming back after Easter. And she's going to look and feel like the same Kate. And all of this was the internet gone mad. Is this good for the royal family or not good?
No.
Even if it turned, like, we all look crazy in 2 weeks.
But how would we look crazy? Because if she just comes back and with no explanation, like, that doesn't dispel half the rumors. Half the rumors are like, yeah, she died. That's what some people said.
Okay,
like,
so she's that obviously one alive. Is next. Right. If she had a facelift, we'll know. If she had a BBL, we'll know.
But her like disappearing for a set amount of time and then coming back, like that still could make people spiral too. It doesn't really prove anything. Do you know what I mean?
Because I feel like it proves that all of the announcements, it would prove that all of the announcements that they made, she had abdominal surgery, she needs weeks to the cover, she'll be back after Easter. It's like,
no, but one of the rumors is that William cheated again and got Rose Hanbury pregnant or whatever. Kate coming back doesn't disprove that, you know?
Okay, but why does she have to go into hiding? Because that woman got pregnant.
What I had said on our live podcast episode that I actually think could be 1,000% true is that there have been rumors about William and Rose Hanbury for many years. And I think that like maybe he cheated a couple of years ago and they've worked through it. But in December, right before Christmas, she found out again that he cheated with Rose Hanbury. Maybe she's pregnant or not. But I think there was like another stint of infidelity. And she's mad. And she's like, listen, I'm not going to work for your annoying ass family. She's like, while you just cheat family. On me. So she's you know punished. What? I'm taking some time for myself. You figure out how to deal with it. And that was William with the dumb Photoshop. Like, you figure out
William
how to deal
with the Photoshop.
But then you she figure out how to deal with my it. Absence. I'm taking some time for myself. And I'm certainly not doing public appearances for your dumb ass family when you just cheated on me, bitch.
But she took the blame for the Photoshop. You think they hacked
she
into her account?
She didn't do anything. Like,
you think they hacked into her account?
She doesn't even run her Instagram. Like, every statement, like, it's put together by people.
You don't think that was written by C?
No, I actually don't.
I think the C is for Claudia.
I mean, it was me.
It was Claudia.
But you know I would have signed it T.
Okay, so...
Turdy.
What is your... In your heart, what's your number one theory?
Well, you know, I did just see another. They're all so compelling when people, especially when people make TikToks with photographic evidence. There was a theory going around. You know, in the years past, Kate has been seen many times with Band-Aids on her hands, like on her fingertips and her knuckles. And it's just like kind of this weird thing. There's like a bunch of times she did a public appearance wearing Band-Aids. And some people had thought that, you know, it's like this thing when you have bulimia that you accidentally scrape up your knuckles by like your teeth scrape and you bite. And it's like a common thing if you're like a sort of consistent bulimic. And of course, bulimia comes with its own host of health issues, mental and physical. So the last video I saw was like, you know, she's probably dealing with that. I don't know. I really
don't
know.
She's in recovery for her bulimia.
Or she's had some sort of health complications from bulimia, which, you know, based on the photos of her Band-Aids has been a years long battle. But who knows? She's could also they, just very thin. So I think that helps the theory.
Could they be gardening injuries?
Jackie, they could literally be anything. She's a mom. Like kids do shit, you know?
Yeah. Like was Jimmy Cortez a bulimic?
Right. Right. Right.
Interesting. Okay. But then so still, she might have had health issues that needed time to recover and she'll be back after Easter.
See, the thing is I would think that the internet was getting really ahead of itself, except for the Mother's Day thing. That really, I think, gave a lot of gravitas to any sort of floating theory that's floating around. Like, that was handled extremely poorly. Like, why they couldn't have just used an old photo of her and the kids? Like, you don't have to take a new photo every Mother's Day. Like, just say, okay, like, happy Mother's Day.
If they used an old photo, people would be like, Charlotte's hair was that long 6 months ago, Kate is dead.
Yes, yes, if they used an old photo. But the fact that they created a photo out of thin air, that's
a global scandal.
That's a bigger concern.
You think they created a photo out of thin air, not just use the best, put together
Jackie,
the best.
She could have done like a montage. No, I'm saying not using an old photo. I'm saying, you know, like a throwback Thursday, if you will.
Yeah, yeah,
she could have done like a montage of all of her portraits with every newborn. Like, I love being a mother. Like, literally, you could have done anything.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Not like pretending that an older photo is current. Just like a throwback.
Yeah, throwback. TBT.
Right. Which is so easy with kids because you always want to post photos of them and they're like their newborn. Like, oh, look how much my baby has grown. Or yeah. It could have been a picture of just the three kids. Like, I'm just saying, the way that they went and made like an AI-generated photo gave people, which I think at first it was like people were having fun. Like, it was kind of jokey with the, you know, the conspiracy theories. That photo of Mother's Day and then her statement so gave the thing legs. And you know what? I don't blame people for getting carried away because it was weird.
Okay. And you think that Rose Hanbury is pregnant so she can't take a picture with her kids?
I don't think Rose Hanbury is pregnant. And I actually think people really need to lay off Rose Hanbury. Like, there's really no proof. And do you know the Rose Hanbury rumors started and ended on Dumois? Like,
no.
It's just become fact. And, like, there's literally no proof.
Yeah, it's just become, like, fact, but it's like so many things sometimes are rumors that are facts, like even some of Diana's misters.
Yes.
Like those are rumors, but they're also true.
No, and that was the same thing with like Camilla Parker Bowles. Everybody knew, but there was photos of them together. It was terrible, but you know, somebody hacked into their phones and like there was a record of this affair. They had dated previously. They had met previously. Like there's literally no,
there's none not of that for William.
There's not that for Rose Hanbury. Like it's literally the Dumois thing. And there's this one picture of Rose Hanbury, like at a royal affair, the same, like she's at the, just the same event, and Kate's like giving her side eye. But it's literally, do you know how many pictures get taken of somebody like Kate per second? Like 1,000. She's just looking. And I actually think in that one photo, she's not even looking at Rose Hanbury. I think she's looking at the guy next to Rose Hanbury. Like there's so little there, for real.
Oh, okay.
It's not fact.
Okay, great. Good to know. You're welcome. We'll see you at Easter.
We'll see you at Easter.
Countdown to Easter.
She has risen.
I've never been so excited for Easter.
Me too.
Are you ready for our next story? Some other exciting, really big news in the podcasting world, which is that Kardashian exes Caitlyn Jenner and Lamar Odom are launching a podcast together with homage to Keeping Up with the Kardashians. So Caitlyn Jenner and Lamar Odom are teaming up to launch a new podcast. They will talk all things athletics in their forthcoming project, Keeping Up with Sports.
It's such a bad name. Like, it's such abysmal. A bad name. Like, first of all, like them harking back to Keeping Up with the Kardashians when both of them are like on the outs, like, is thirsty, first of all. The actual name, Keeping Up with the Sports, like, it's dumb. It's really bad.
It appears 3 episodes have been recorded so far, and the first episode will debut in a couple of weeks. Boxing legend Sugar Ray Leonard will be their premier guest, according to the press release. Also, in the image for the podcast, there's 3 hosts. So it's Caitlin Lamar and someone named Zach Hirsch.
The thing is that the people who are like fans and followers of Caitlin and Lamar are fans and followers of the Kardashians. And those people don't give a flying fuck about sports like Sugar Ray Leonard. You know what I mean? So I could see how somebody would conceive this idea, but if you just think it through, it's so clearly a bad one.
I kind of disagree.
Wow.
I kind of think it could heal the world. Like, I think the people, well, let's see if I'll even be inclined to listen to it. But I think real sports fans might listen to some of this. Obviously, I don't. Real Kardashian fans.
No, see, the thing is, that inherently I disagree with. Real sports fans, like, don't consider Caitlyn or Lamar to be like important figures in sports anymore. I think they think that their reputations have been destroyed. Like they think of them as like Kardashian curse, yada, yada. And true Kardashian fans don't give a fuck about sports. So even if it is hosted by 2 ancillary characters in the Kardashian universe, the things they're talking about like do not apply to these fans.
I don't know. I don't think it's the worst idea I've ever heard. I think it's worth pursuing.
That's so funny. I think it's the worst idea I've ever heard.
Like, I think it's the funniest idea. Like,
yes.
Like some sort of like AI generated. No, not even. AI couldn't be this creative. It's the craziest idea I've ever heard.
It's literally the dumbest idea. And by the way, no true sports fan would be caught dead listening to a podcast called Keeping Up with Sports.
Yeah, but you know what? I think the cream, as we always say, the cream rises. And there's a chance that they have like interesting, compelling conversations with like sports legends. Caitlin.
That's actually true.
Caitlin's kind of like a lightning rod. Yeah. She says stuff, you know, she doesn't say nothing.
No, and people really don't give Caitlin, I want to say, enough credit for her sports career. Like, I forget what documentary, I think it might have been like a documentary on her transition. And I wasn't really alive for her time at the Olympics, but like apparently it was like it took over the world. She was like America's pride and joy, Wheaties, like really kind of like Michael Jordan level fame and athleticism. And she actually, because she's like lived so much the Kardashians, the transition, and then she's, you're right, she's just this sort of like lightning rod, especially politically. Like people don't give her credit for her athletic career. That I do agree with.
You can't put Caitlin in a box. And I think that's actually the perfect sort of podcaster. Then there's Lamar.
Yeah, and I haven't actually heard Lamar speak in a really long time. I feel like I'm always reading headlines about him, but I don't see like his Instagram stories. I don't see sit-down interviews. I don't really know what he's like.
He has his recovery center.
Yes.
He's like really big into recovery and rehabilitation, coupled with sports, coupled with, you know, his history. I mean, he came back from the dead. Like this man might have something to say.
I also, I'm glad you brought that up because yesterday I was thinking about Rob Kardashian because it was his birthday and Khloe obviously put up like this big emo thing and they obviously have like such a special relationship and, you know, part of her caption was like, you know, I hope one day you see yourself the way we all see you. Like, it's actually weird this, I feel like we never like talk enough about like the mystery of Rob Kardashian. You know, they're so transparent, the girls. Like, they've really never been through anything that they haven't shared. Almost to a point of like, you know, ad nausea. People are like, enough. And with Rob, it's like, there is no definitive answer. What the hell happened to Rob Kardashian? Like, there's theories. And, you know, it all went downhill after he was living in the house with Khloe and Lamar. And I think Khloe feels like immense guilt about that. And that's why she's really the sister who's like always there to pick him up. What's the theory or what happened?
My POV on it, just based on like the crumbs they've left over the years, is that he was living with Khloe and Lamar, which led to drug use for him, which led to weight gain, severe weight gain, addiction, severe depression.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought too, but like that's not confirmed, is it?
I don't think so, no.
Interesting, he's such an enigma.
Yeah, he is. Also, I just want to say the third man in the podcast, Zach Hirsch, looks like Rob Kardashian. It looks like a picture of Rob, Caitlin, and Lamar. And I feel like that's intentional. Funny. I feel like it was intentional for marketing.
For sure.
So I'm open to it. The name, they already need a rebrand, keeping up with sports. Like, I'm crying. I'm sad.
It's awful. And they're,
when I climb into bed, I start feeling sad.
As you should. It's horrible. And if they did want to like hark back something Kardashian related, they could have done a better job. Like, ever heard of the word subtlety? Like, no, it's so overt. It's so lame.
It's but so actually, lame that it's funny.
I could see them like having clips that go viral. Like, if they do end up, you know, having meaningful conversations.
For sure. And I just got to say some advice to them. Like, you got to put it all out there. And by the way, not about the girls. No, I don't want to hear either of them talk about the girls. I don't give a rip. Like,
yeah,
they're interesting people in their own right.
And I do want to say one thing that I find interesting about this, because if it was just like two ex-Kardashian, like, you know, characters who had no connection to the family anymore, like, they could go rogue and say whatever they want. Caitlyn is still the girl's dad. Like,
she's even not going to say anything.
Right. No, and she will. She might say stuff because she's like always saying stuff about the girls that is like a little like eek, but never crossing a line to a point where it's like she's been a part of Kardashian documentary and she's always like an expert witness, e true Hollywood story vibes.
She's always talking, but I don't think it's very negative at all. What she says. And
that's what I'm saying. It won't be. Like, he's still connected.
Same for Lamar. Lamar always says the nicest things about the Kardashians.
Yeah.
So I think that for that reason, that's good too. It's not like they're trying to get on there and slam them. Like, how tired would that be?
Did you see like people, the internet freaking out over Scott Disick?
That he slimmed?
He was paparazzi, I guess, for the first time in a while. And not only did he lose a lot of weight, he looked like extremely gaunt. Like, his cheekbones, his under eyes were really sunken in. It was more than just like Ozempic thin. Like, it appeared as though something was wrong with him health wise.
Sad.
Yeah, it was like a really scary looking picture.
Because he had also recently gained weight because he had his accident and he couldn't really move. And
I know. And so people are like, well, when you have an accident, you get prescribed pills. And that's like how a lot of people end up with a pill addiction, because like it's like a minor thing. It's literally dope sick. Like, you come in for back pain and next thing you know, your whole life is ruined.
Damn.
Just speculatory, all of this. But the photo is very telling and it's very sad.
Yeah, it is. But I saw he was with a woman.
Yes.
That's not a girl.
Photographed. Oh, it was a woman?
It was a woman.
Not a girl?
I think she was 28.
It's better.
No, and she looked like a woman, not like a...
She looked like she had a fully formed frontal lobe.
And I think she had like a job.
I was so shocked at him dating a girl of an appropriate age.
With a job.
With a job, nonetheless. I spilled my coffee.
Yeah. So that I thought was a good sign. Just trying not to judge a book by its cover in terms of his looks.
Yeah.
And I think Scott should join an episode of Keeping Up with Sports. I think that's a trifecta we kind of need in this world.
I love that.
I think it's cute. Let him have fun.
We'll see.
Talk that talk.
That's a good name for a podcast.
It is a good name for a podcast. And if you gave me like a day, I could come up with a really great name for Lamar and Caitlin.
Yeah. Shooting the shit.
So cute. Let me ask you a question. If they are an iconic podcasting duo, if they go on to be that, like, who do you think is the Jackie and who is the Claudia?
I'm sorry. Like, I don't know, because, like, Lamar is kind of, like, more soft-spoken, I guess. But you're more of the lightning rod.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think they have a little bit of Jackson Claude in each of them, which is how, you know they're going to be successful.
Recipe for success.
It's a good question.
Yeah. I'm so curious. I don't intrigued. Think I'm curious enough to, like, listen to an episode with Sugar Ray Leonard. I'm not going to lie. But if there's clips that emerge, I will take the yes. time to watch them on
yes,
Reels.
I agree.
Okay, ready for our next story. Mm-hmm. A little more rumored news. I don't love a rumor without a picture.
Me neither.
But oh. What?
I thought you were going to say, like, I don't love a rumor as a story, like something totally unsubstantiated. Like,
for sure, but it's not a rumor that's, like, important. You know, it's not like, I'll just say what the rumor is.
Yeah, please,
and then
please.
We can discuss. Disney CEO Bob Iger was yes. spotted. So this is the kind of rumor that I like because it's
yes,
harmless.
I agree.
Disney CEO Bob Iger was spotted fawning over Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce during a couple's date night in L.A. So Bob Iger was spotted fawning over the quote, in quotes, fawning over the pop star and her NFL beau, Travis Kelce, when they dined on Saturday night at L.A. hotspot, the Bird Street Club, sources tell Page Six. A source said of the scene at the members club, quote, Bob jumped up from his seat the minute Taylor walked in. Well, I guess they have that relationship now because of Era's Disney Plus.
But they have a longstanding relationship because Folklore was also on Disney Plus.
Right.
And she did Netflix and then she like pretty much moved over to Disney. She's obviously in her Disney era right now.
So they've had meetings before for sure. So him jumping up when, you know, his friend and colleague
actually,
walks into
do you
the
feel
room.
Like they had meetings? I feel like no.
I don't think Taylor's going to meet with lower level people.
I don't think Taylor needed to take a meeting. I think they shopped it around and everybody just made their offers and she went with the biggest one.
You like, don't think Bob called her up?
No, like money talks. Who cares if the CEO calls you? Are you giving me the money? You know?
I feel like he wanted to call. No, I'm saying I feel like he used it as an excuse to call her and say, Taylored, we've got a deal.
You know, he's obviously thirsty, and this story sort of supplements that, and I love that for him. And by the way, I can't believe we spoke about our weekends without me sharing. Like, I watched the Eras Tour the entire weekend. Having it on demand is such a luxury. We are so blessed. I'm enjoying it so much. It is so well done, and it's just fabulous to have.
I'm still holding out because we're supposed to go to the concert, and then this weekend I called you. I was like, I think I'm just going to watch it. Like, I probably won't even go to the concert.
You guys, Jackie has no idea what the show's about. She doesn't know the order.
I never saw the TikToks.
She's seen nothing. Isn't that crazy? She has a pure mind.
Pure mind. And so I was like to Claudia, what are the odds that we actually go? Like, I'll just watch it. And she was like, no, like, we're coming. We have tickets
booked.
We're going.
So we don't have tickets, but we're going.
No, but like, people have plans made to come. It's not just like this far-fetched idea that's not happening.
No, it's literally in Florida. Like, we're going. That's where you live. Like, no, we're going.
Okay, I thought just, like, everyone moved on is what I thought.
I stayed there, dust collected around my pinned up hair.
That's literally me. I stayed here not watching. Meanwhile, everybody's, like, gone to the show five times, watch a movie backwards and forwards. But you
no,
still
we're going.
You're going to come back for me.
I'm coming back for you. No man left behind.
Okay, thank you. So the rumor is that Bob Iger was creaming his pants.
Yeah.
To over Taylored and Travis at a members only club in LA this weekend. And the thing about it, it's like, there's no proof of this, but why would someone make this up? Like, it's true.
No. And like envisioning it for me is like a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I believe it.
I believe it too. And when I read this story, this is the first time I learned that Bob Iger's wife is 13 years younger than him. She's 60 and he's 73.
I saw that too, but it's like, okay, sure, she's younger, but at the same time, she's extremely age appropriate.
No, I know it's funny, but like if, you know, she was 20 and he was 33, we'd be like, oh, okay.
Josie Grossi, but that's also because a lot of growing up happens in those years, formative years.
And then it just got me thinking, like, Bob Iger is a lot older than I would have thought. If you would have asked me before I read this article, how old is Bob Iger?
60s.
I think I would have said max 65. Like, and I don't know, it's just for someone who's obviously very wealthy, like, why is he still working? Like, go home.
He tried to retire and he couldn't. He came back out of retirement.
It's not, well, could he not? Or Disney made him an offer he couldn't refuse? Because he left and like Disney went to the shit. Like
both. I think both. I think he missed working.
Yeah.
What do you think about retirement?
I hope to do it, you know, any day
now. As soon as possible.
I think that's actually a good question. Like, what do you think about retirement? There are different types of retirement. Like, oh, you make a lot of money so you can retire. When I think of retirement, I think of it in the traditional sense where like you're 62.
In the traditional. Not in AARP. The extreme circumstances. Yeah, like you hit retirement age, you get your
retirement
job,
fund.
You get your social security, and your days are your own.
So I think for the people around you, like, I think it's a huge relief, like, for your kids and everything, that you're going to be able to relax and enjoy retirement. You've worked hard your whole life. I imagine for the person who's retiring, it definitely signals, like, you know, the latter half of life, like, you're at a certain point. I think it could be, like, a little depressing.
Yeah, and, like, to just wake up and for so many years, so many people depend on you. You had somewhere to be, like...
The intern.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's not what people think it's going to be.
I agree.
Unless you're a golfer.
Yeah.
I think people love to golf.
And this is just a great reminder. It's never too early to start saving for retirement. Like, for real. Open an IRA. Like, you won't regret it. You're welcome. Turdy's, like, yeah, kind of, like, giving financial advice.
Even though, like... Then what? What would you do if you retire? When you retire, what shall you do?
Well, I've started saving for retirement many, many years ago. It's like kind of something I'm most proud
of.
You're
counting down the days.
I have two IRAs. Like, I take it seriously, and I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I'm looking forward to, like, looking back on, you know, 18-year-old Turdy who opened that account and feeling really proud and grateful to her. And hopefully by the time I can open that account, like, it'll be bussin', and maybe I could buy a condo. I don't know, a waterfront condo or something.
For sure. And then what are you going to do in your condo?
Well, I'm hoping I'll have grandchildren and stuff, and, you know, I'll still be married, and, like, you know, Ben will be alive. Like, that would be great. So I don't know.
I feel like you and Ben will go in the ocean a lot.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely be living somewhere warm.
Seaside. Because, like,
Ben will have,
golfing.
Ben will have broken me down. We'll probably live in, like, a community with, like, you know, a golf course and
you don't think you'll live on the beach? You love the ocean.
I do love the ocean. That is a fun fact about me. I'm kind of like a water sign. I don't know. I also imagine think of all the growth I've had in the last year. Who knows how different? Maybe I'll be like
gardening.
Maybe I'll join a commune or something. Like, who knows?
I think maybe you'll be gardening.
Perhaps.
I think I'm going to start gardening soon. It's time.
Do you think we'll still be podcasting?
The thing is, it's like, then we're not retired, but I want to keep podcasting.
And, like, when the toast, like, when we're toast, like, the intellectual property, like, are we going to train the next generation of, or, like, does it end with us?
By Colleen Hoover.
Right.
I don't know. I think these things will happen naturally. I don't think we'll have to plan.
Okay.
A natural progression.
Love that.
But I don't have plans to stop.
Me neither.
Anyways, Bob Iger is not retired.
No, he's not, but he is thirsty.
Are you ready for our next story?
If it's the next story, that's brought to you by Sonos. So the all-new Move 2 is a powerful and portable smart speaker for listening all around your home and beyond. You connect it to Wi-Fi at your house or Bluetooth for listening on the go, and you can stream music, podcasts, audiobooks from all your favorite services. Move 2 tunes itself like magic, so it sounds great whether you're listening inside or outdoors, and no need to worry about the elements. This powerful and durable speaker weathers sun, splashes, sand, and accidental drops with ease. So you can enjoy easy control with the Sonos app, Apple AirPlay 2, and your voice. You can mix and match with other Sonos speakers to create the ultimate sound system for immersive home theater and multi-room music. Let me tell you, I have three Move 2 speakers in my house. They are so fabulous. I was listening to Kacey Musgraves' new album on them this morning. I have them in every room. So I'm just like walking in, me and Tromeo walking from the living room to the bedroom to the second bedroom, kind of, you know, cleaning, doing things like that. And you wouldn't even know that they're three different speakers. The way, I don't know what it is, but the way it creates like surround sound. So even though that the speaker's in one corner of the room, you'd have no idea the music's coming from there. It sounds like it's all around you. It's truly magical. And I feel like speakers are something worth investing in. Like if you buy crap, you get crap. It sounds bad and it breaks. Like the Sonos, I feel, is such a good investment.
My weekend was brought to you by Sonos. I can't remember what I did, but I do remember that Sonos was my Move 2 was playing the entire time.
It was a core tenant of your weekend. Visit Sonos.com and save 20% off on select speakers and soundbars, including the Move 2, now through March 25th, while supplies last. That's Sonos, S-O-N-O-S.com, and save 20% off on select speakers at Sonos.com. Today's episode is brought to you by June's Journey. Everybody loves a good family mystery, especially one with as many twists and turns as June's Journey. Step into the role of June Parker and search for hidden clues to uncover the mystery of her sister's murder. Engage your observation skills to quickly uncover key pieces of information that lead to chapters of mystery, danger, and romance. Where will each new chapter take you? So I'm a big fan of phone games. I feel like I'm constantly looking for stimulation. Even when I'm like watching TV and stuff, I need to like constantly be stimulated. And June's Journey is my latest obsession. It is fun. It is addictive. It's enticing. It's Claudia, intellectually stimulating.
Ask me what I'm doing right now.
Jackie, what are you doing right now?
Playing June's Journey.
You're on a journey. And who, to whom does that journey belong?
June.
So you can find hidden clues, uncover a murder mystery, solve mind-teasing mysteries of the Roaring Twenties. Yeah, the whole aesthetic is like very Gatsby-esque. It's like, it's giving class and elegance too. I like it.
It's giving historical fiction.
Yes, you can escape to a bygone age of mystery, danger, and romance and set out on a journey through the glamorous Roaring Twenties. It is June's job to discover the truth behind the unexplained death of her sister. So this game is about a daring young woman, maybe much like yourself, who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets. So escape reality, immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Relax and lose yourself in this captivating quest of mystery, murder, and romance. Travel back in time to the glamorous 1920s. And if you're just craving a good mystery, looking for an escape, looking for some sort of stimulation, check it out. Can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. June needs your help. So download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome.
Our next story, a bit of nostalgia news.
Okay.
Seventh Heaven's Barry Watson jokes about Beverly Mitchell and Jessica Biel's past crushes on him at 90s con, the Seventh Heaven.
Okay, who's Barry Watson?
Let me look him up. He was the oldest brother.
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah.
So there was 90s con this weekend. There was a Seventh Heaven panel, and the Seventh Heaven cast, minus Jessica Biel, of course, because she wouldn't be caught dead.
Oh, by the way, we need to talk about Justin Timberlake after this. Please remind me.
Okay. Well, they were sort of spilling the tea about dynamics on set, how the girlies had crushes on Barry.
Of course. Also,
the younger brother showed up to the panel, and he looks very different now because he shaved his head, and so people were quaking about that.
Okay, 90s con being a thing, like, I can't, first of all. Second of all, did they talk about the pastor father who's now in prison?
So I didn't see anything about it, but I didn't watch the whole video, so I can't say.
It's not their problem. It's not their problem, like, for real. No. What? Someone they worked with was an animal, and now they have to answer for it? No.
No, it's so crazy. But also, they talked about the potential for a Seventh Heaven rewatch podcast. They said, stay tuned on social media.
Okay, please, like, no. Please.
Okay, what sounds like a better idea? Caitlin on a Mars podcast or a Seventh Heaven? Like, say you were an advertiser or a network buying a show. Which one would you buy? Which one would you put your money behind?
So bad. I don't know. Rewatch podcasts, like, seem to be doing well.
Yeah, they do.
But Seventh Heaven is not the type of show with a cult following. It doesn't get rewatched.
It doesn't get rewatched. And I think if you rewatch it, like, you would feel uncomfortable. I'm even looking at an old picture and I feel uncomfortable because the father is holding the young daughter on his lap.
And if they're not going to talk about the dad, then there's no reason to make a podcast. Like, for real, you got to be open and transparent about these things.
I feel like they would talk about it, but it's not going to be the only thing that they talk about. But I would just, like, watch every episode and be like, just counting every time the pastor touched a child.
But can we go back to the original part of the story, which was Barry Watson saying, like, all the younger girls had a crush on him?
Yeah.
He was so cute when he was that brother. Like, you know who he reminds me of? Like, he was, like, such a classic. Like, he was really cute. And he reminded me a lot of the older brother, Charlie Baker from Cheaper by the Dozen.
For sure. Except that guy was actually cute. Like,
and so he's the actor from Smallville. The actor, his name is Jacob Smith. I was just Googling it because I wanted to remember his name. Like, he was so dreamy.
Yeah.
Because he was also, like, normal. Like, he wanted to, like, you know, go to parties and stuff and go to college and play football. Whereas, like, the brother from Barry Watson from Seventh Heaven was like, let's do Bible study. Like, girl, no.
Yeah, you know? And, like, drink energy drinks and grow our hair out.
Literally.
No, this one picture that I'm looking at in the People magazine article, I don't know if you have the article up, but
I don't.
It's a cast photo from 1996. Like, I could look at this picture all day. It's a Renaissance painting to me. First of all, Jessica Biel, like, gorgeous. Gorgeous girl.
Yeah.
As she's a gorgeous woman now, but, like, she just, like, is that cool teenage girl.
Okay, so wait, thank you for reminding me. So Justin Timberlake had a concert, like, last week, maybe over the weekend, at the Wilbur to, like, celebrate his new music or whatever. You know, he's, like, rebuilding his career. And he brought out NSYNC, and they released a song. And it's so funny how, like, for so many years, that would have been headline news. People were just waiting for NSYNC to do something together. And, you know, how lucky would we be if they released a song? They're doing merch. Like, they are doing the most right now. And the way nobody besides, like, those core fans care.
Is a new song or is the one from the movie that they did? Do they now have two new songs or the one from a few weeks ago that for maybe Trolls or something?
Okay, hold on. Maybe this is old news.
They performed their new song, which came out a couple weeks ago.
Mm.
And And
maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
And you know that on Friday, we did talk about the fact that they performed together.
Wait, we did?
Yeah, because Travis was at the concert, Travis Kelce.
Oh my God, we did talk about it. It's been such a long weekend.
No, but that's also like how unimportant it was. Like you forgot that we talked about it.
Well, over the weekend, I got served so much TikTok content. And I guess I was like engaging with it. So it like kept coming up even more. And like I could sit down for 5 hours with a body language expert like to talk about all of this. And, you know, most of the vocals during the NSYNC performance were done by JC Shazay. And I then, of course, ended up on like JC TikTok. And the JC stans have like really felt for many years like he was so robbed during the height of the band's career. Because like it really, like JC was that bitch, you know. He really was super talented vocally as well. And he definitely got pushed to the side by Justin and his curly hair.
But so say JC's more talented than Justin. But how does Justin go on to have this like huge career and be the one? And it's not like JC's less handsome than Justin. I would actually say he's more. So it's like kind of like an L for JC. Like, where's your business savvy? Like, how come you weren't doing things for yourself?
No, it's actually very true.
Like, what, you're just going to be a victim? Like, you were in the same rooms as Justin Timberlake, like really had the same opportunities, knew the same people, like, and he made it bigger and you didn't? Like, you...
You know what it kind of reminds me of? But I don't know if JC even tried. Because I feel like the modern day equivalent of NSYNC and Justin Timberlake is Fifth Harmony and Camila Cabello.
Yeah.
And I feel like but it doesn't really work because
no
I feel
one
like JC is like
talented as Camila in the group.
Normani is. And okay. Normani's I think the other three, like they've had attempts at solo careers and they flopped because like they don't have what it takes. No. They're vocally like in any sense, like I'm sorry. But Normani's the only other one who does. And Normani like had, you know, she's like with Beyonce, like she worked, she has the business savvy, but she literally like hasn't released music. And there was all this hype for her. But so the equivalent is not the same because I don't think JC ever tried. Right. You're right. Like, where was that sort of business savvy?
Right. And so everyone wants to be mad that he didn't get his flowers. Well, he didn't plant his seeds.
He didn't bloom.
He didn't even plant the seeds, as far as I know. And trust me, I haven't really looked into it, so I could be wrong. Maybe he did plant seeds and didn't pan out because maybe Justin Timberlake like is a Nepo baby or something. I don't know.
I need to, like, I would love to hear really honestly from some of the other members of NSYNC.
Now
the content.
Now would be the time, though, because he's finally back in the fold.
Exactly. And so, like, I know Lance Bass is having, like, the time of his life. But I'd like to talk to somebody, like, I'd like to talk to Joey Fatone. You know, I feel like he's an honest guy. Like, I feel like Joey, and that other one whose name I don't know, is it Chris?
Chris.
I feel like he fucking hates Justin Timberlake. Like, I would.
Yeah.
And for so many years, Justin thought he was so much better than these guys. Like, and I understand there none of them are in a position to say no, but I'm sure they wanted to. Like, fuck you. You need us now.
I don't know. But
like, it's very telling when Justin was at the peak of his career, he didn't reach out.
Okay. Devil's advocate. Yeah. Maybe the fact that Justin reached such big heights are the reason why now people even care to see NSYNC back together. Like, maybe if they all just became nobodies, then there wouldn't even be this
demand.
Excitement. They wouldn't get the Trolls contract.
Perhaps. But I think pride definitely plays a part in all of this.
For sure, especially with men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just... Oh, you know, I read an article. Actually, I literally read the headline, but I thought it was very emblematic of a lot of what we've been talking about recently. And it was like J-Lo and Justin Timberlake. How, you know, pop stars are failing to retire. It was like a Variety article. I thought it was such a good point because they really are very similar, their situations. And, you know, J-Lo's getting roasted right now because they're doing the most to promote this documentary of hers. Not the movie. She did a movie where she spent $20 million of her own dollars, like, and it was like she worked in a factory. It was like a live visual album. Did you hear about that?
I thought
like,
it's
it
all the same.
No, then she has a documentary that's like her and Ben Affleck. Like okay. she has a better chance of getting people to watch that. And there's clips of it all over social media. And there's this clip where she's like in the gym working out and her hair looks crazy because she's been like working out. And she just kind of like shakes her head and she's like, oh, I like wearing my hair like this. Reminds me like when I was in the Bronx running up and down the block. Crazy girl, young heart.
I saw that.
And people are like, all right, enough with the block. First of all, which block? You know, and then like people are like, she talks so vaguely about the Bronx. Like she's never been there.
It's giving Jay Shetty as a monk.
Stop. Yeah. Like, oh my God. This clip is so funny. Like, and so I thought the article like really did a good point of pointing out how the two of them, how do you retire with sort of with like humility and integrity?
Right. While also like not succumbing to this ageist industry and being like, I can't work or do new music because I'm too old. I don't like that either.
I know, but, and this is going to be like kind of like a really rude thing for me to say, like pop music specifically, it's a young person's genre. Like it just is. It's music for the young people.
So switch genres?
Something. I don't know. And I'm trying to think of somebody who I feel like has done it in a good way. And I do feel like I've been critical of her, but there are merits to how she's done it. Madonna. She's certainly not retired.
Certainly not.
But she plays the hits. Like, she's not out here, you know, doing new albums. Actually,
to me, she's someone who absolutely needs to retire.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay, wait, let me think. Who Cher? Is somebody? Cher. I think a good way to sort of retire is a Vegas residency.
And then hit it with a greatest hits
tour. Yes, Cher, you're right. That's a very good example. And, you know, she still tours and people are like, damn, she's still got it. But that's enough.
Yeah, and I just want to say something. So everyone knows my husband is a Justin Timberlake fan still. Like, he really doesn't get in the weeds on the stuff that we do. And
yeah,
he was like, oh, Justin Timberlake came out with a new album. I watched him like see it on Spotify and he went and played a song. I don't think it was the first song. I don't know if he had heard like maybe this is a good song or something. And he played it. And Claudia was so good. And it didn't sound like Justin. It's a new sound. Like he's giving like more of a John Mayer. Doesn't sound like John Mayer, but like more in that direction of like,
yep,
man, guitar, Noah Kahn.
I like that.
Like, yep. It really was not offensive.
See, that's interesting. But I feel like success as a pop star is so much more than just talent. Like, the music being good is a part of it, but it's like the marketing, it's how you package yourself.
Yeah.
And you're the center of the brand. And when you're disliked, like, that makes it tough. Even if the music is really good, you know, that's half the battle for sure.
Okay, but you know who you just described?
Who?
Ari.
Explain.
She's disliked right now.
Yes. However, I do think she has like a core fandom that's so big. That's the thing. Like, she's just much more famous, I think, than Justin Timberlake in terms of like people who consume her music. So I think he has his core fans too. So he had a concert for his core fans at the Wilbur. That's a 1600 person theater. If Ari did that, she could do it at Madison Square Garden. I just think the scale is different. But yeah, she is disliked as well. Yes.
Yet her music, it's bringing us has back.
It's penetrated. You're right. It has penetrated the haters, like, because it is that good.
Yeah. So it can be done.
But she's so big, like, even when people dislike her, her music becomes a part of the zeitgeist. Like, he's kind of fringe now. Like, it's not like he released a song and it's automatically going to be on the radio and be on TikTok. Like,
not the fringe.
Right? Don't you feel like he's fringe?
I don't listen to the radio, so I can't say. And I'm not on TikTok, like, so I don't know.
I always find it interesting to, when people release new music, if I don't seek it out, if it still makes its way to me. And I find that, like, I waited actually a few days before listening to Ari's album, and I had known a few songs already due to TikTok, due to social media, due to just the culture. That's her influence. It's impressive. Even when, you know, she was going through a sort of like a rough time, which I think she is right now, but her music is bringing her back to the fold. With Justin, I have not heard, because I haven't sought it out, I still have not heard one song.
You didn't hear the one single?
Oh, I'm sorry, I did. No. The footage I saw of him at his concert was like him bringing them out and them singing Bye Bye Bye. I know that song already.
Yes, know that song too.
So I always find that's like one of my favorite things to do, like mute people on social media and see if they still come across my desk. Because everybody on social media is like, oh, I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. And I'm like, well, are you or do I just follow you?
Right.
And so if you're still like popping up all over my, you know, my desk, well, you really are a part of the culture, but everybody's like job is to make it seem like they are, you know?
Yeah, that's their literal job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with Justin Timberlake, it's an impressive, he's pulling out all the stops, you know, with making TikToks, him and Lance Bass, because Lance Bass is really beloved. Like, he really is. I think a lot of people are like excited for him to be able to like be a member of NSYNC while also fully being himself, because he was totally in the closet. Like, so I like, it's funny how like the tables have turned. Like, Justin is so like latching onto his goodwill, Lance's goodwill. And they're doing the most, you know, of course, Jessica is getting in there too. They're, you know, they're doing all the right things, TikTok and NSYNC, but it's just coming off so disingenuous, at least for me. Maybe this is just my unique experience.
Yeah, it might be, because you're not the target audience for this, actually.
Why? I like was an NSYNC fan.
You know who is?
Olivia.
Olivia. No, you're the target audience for the Jonas Brothers reunion.
I'm like, actually, those different not.
Those years made a difference. No, you were like when that was happening.
Yeah, that I was excited for about you. It. You're right.
Joe Jonas right, on right. your wall.
You're right. You're right.
This
you're
is
right,
for Olivia, right. and I'm going to go over to her house with a microphone and I'm going to interview her about what this means to her.
Please, I need you to, but also I need you to catch her off guard. I need her initial, like maybe she won't even know what we're talking about, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
So just show up at her house and start filming, like seriously.
With a
like,
camera crew busted.
Yeah, like you know when they catch those like pedophiles? Like that's what you need to do.
And she's listening in secret to their new song.
Yeah. Like I need a full candid reaction.
Okay, I'm on it.
Great.
Now to bring it back to the story, you didn't answer.
Was this our fifth or our fourth?
That was our fourth.
Okay.
You didn't answer my question. You Which are was? A podcast network. Which podcast would you buy?
They're both. Lamar.
Same. But it's a tough choice.
Yeah. It's bottom of the barrel.
They each have a potential. They do. But like most podcasts, they could go nowhere.
Right.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story? A little more nostalgia news, but not as fun.
Oh, what?
More news from Quiet on Set, the Bombshell documentary that's coming out. And it's looking like it's going to be a referendum on Dan Schneider. Because former Nickelodeon writer Amy Berg slammed her ex-boss Dan Schneider as a psychological tormentor following the release of the Bombshell documentary. So she served as his assistant before he left for UPN. And she said she worked with him for less than a year, but it was enough to know he was a, quote, fucking asshole. She said on X, during my year with Dan, I wasn't aware of any physically inappropriate behavior. What I can confirm, however, is that he was a fucking asshole, a psychological tormentor. He introduced me to panic attacks, and the stress of working for him caused me to develop a significant heart arrhythmia.
By the way, that's very similar to what Jeanette McCurdy said in her book. In Jeanette's book, she did not confirm, like there's been for years speculation about Dan Schneider, you know, allegedly sexually assaulting kids on set. But there's also been rumors that he's just like a fucking dick. And Jeanette's book really substantiated those latter claims that she like, he was such an asshole and really manipulative, getting her to do things she didn't want to do with the promise of her having her own show. And then Ariana Grande ended up being like, it was really very like psychological too. And I have heard that as well, in addition to what we've all obviously heard.
Yes. So I think there will be more about him. And I think this documentary, it's talking about the set, the culture at Nickelodeon in general during those years. But like he was the creator. That's actually what Jeanette McCurdy like refers to him allegedly in her
book. As the creator.
As the creator. Like he created this culture.
Yes. Any sort of toxic workplace like would be from him.
Yeah.
Like it was fully his show and he was really kind of the king at Nickelodeon during that time. He was making them so much money. The shows were so successful and he could really do whatever he wanted and he did.
Yeah, he did. So
he's disgusting.
I hope this documentary continues to bring light to what happened in those days.
Dark times.
Yeah.
So those were the past five. You definitely needed to know them.
As you do every day.
And I had the time of my life. Fighting dragons with you.
As we do every day.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Toast the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, wherever you cast box, all the places. Wherever you listen to podcasts, find us at Toast, leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are.
Love ya. Bye.